Hello from Solid Rock Worship Center. I'm Pastor Jim Bradford. At Solid Rock, it is our desire to see people's lives built upon the truths of God's Word. Jesus is alive, doing miracles, and changing lives. For more info, check out our website at www.srworship.org. And I hope you're challenged by today's message.
Actually 200 miles an hour down Route 40. Okay, so if you want to know how I did that, you could talk to me. But that's what 200 miles an hour looks like down Route 40. Listen, today we're going to start a three-part series in the middle of our Corinthians stuff. We're going to take a break from 1 Corinthians for a little bit. And we're going to talk about being driven. So the title of the series is Driven. So my question is, what drives you? What drives you? Are you driven by anything in life? We can be driven by a lot of things, can't we? Let's throw this out. Name something that somebody can be driven by. Anybody. Besides like me in a car. But like in life, if you understand the word to be driven, like your passion, what consumes you, what is the thing that propels you towards something with energy? You know? Anybody. What drives, can drive somebody? Instead of just about you, but Doris. We're that good, huh? Oh. Yeah. Good. Good, good. Well, thank the Lord that you had a drive inside of you, which I'm sure is the Holy Spirit that propels you because you need to be here. You know, and we're glad to see you. I'm personally glad that you got out of bed today. And I like the colors that you have on. The blue and white, it reminds me of an old car that I was looking at pictures of last night. I have to show, a beautiful car that I broke in half with a telephone pole so many years ago. All right, I know, let it go. I was looking at pictures last night and I'm like, here's my old car. My honey says, let it go, nice Nova. Yes, Alu. Sure. Sure. So inside of you, there's internal motivation to go do the right thing, to get up, go to work, right? Even when you don't feel like it. Did you ever not feel like going to work? Absolutely, right? Right? Yeah. Donna?
I was thinking of like career goals.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Because you were driven to do it. That's good. Anybody else? Anybody? We have a lot of unmotivated people today. Okay. Let me define it for you a little bit. It's not going. Let me see. To force into action. Let me see. That's not desire. To strive, to make an effort to reach a goal. Say if you have a goal and you're passionate about doing something, you have a drive to do it. Get it? It's like your passion, it's your heart, it's your desire. The thing that has you do things that may even be very difficult to do, but you still have a drive to do that. You have a passion and a desire to do that.
To be a better mom.
To be a better mom, sure. Because you have an internal passion and desire to do that, to be a better mom. Anybody else? Yes?
This night, Doris has said, I have to come to church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church, or you're driven to come to church, because you know you're doing it for the Lord, and someday you're going to see Him face to face.
That's true. Awesome. Awesome. Very good. Well, let's get into the Word today. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you have your bulletin, there's some blanks on the back of that, a place for you to take notes. And today we're going to talk about what drives you, and in particular, with being driven, listen, it is a good thing to have drives, isn't it? Isn't it a good thing to have passions and desires to do things? In the Word of God, we find, we're going to do three today and three next week and three the following week. I'm going to give you a total of 9 keys, unless I think of some more as we go forward. But as of right now, it's 9 keys to help you accomplish any goal you have in life, right? Isn't that good? Anybody have goals? Right? And if you have goals in life, listen, you need to accomplish them. A lot of times, a goal that you have in your heart is something that God has birthed in your heart, that God has dreamed a big dream over you, and He's put like a seed in your heart that that He wants to come forward and have a lot of fruit. God doesn't plant things within you unless He wants to see the fruit come forward. Now, we have drives that aren't from God, sinful drives to go do things, you know, and stuff. Those drives, of course, aren't from the Lord, but deep within us, God plants within us drives to do things for Him and to do things that we really want to do that are good for us. So let me think of a few drives before we move forward. That would be from the Lord. Even if you're not a Christian, I think still drives that God plants within you would be, as Olga said, to be a good mom, to be a good dad. I think innately within you, you have an internal drive to take care of those, to mentor your offspring, don't you? Right? Being a dad changed my life. I've said that before. I know it's changed my wife's life. Not being a dad, being a mom has changed my wife's life. How many people, when you had a kid, let me ask you, Olga, since you talked about being a mother, did it change you being a mom? It did, right? Sure, because you don't want to risk yourself because you have to be there to be a mom, right? Right. How about you, Vivian? Did it change you being a mom? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How about you, Ivan? Did being a dad change you? Yeah. Definitely. Sure, you want to be a good example? So that drives you to look at your life so you leave a good legacy. That's good. That's good. And those drives are good. And even if you don't know Jesus, you should still have those drives within you. How about you, Rich? Definitely, right? You want to elaborate or no? You don't have to. How about one thing that changed you? Yeah. Yeah, you become less selfish, I guess, if you will. With me, something that changed within me when I became a husband and a dad as well, maybe even more so, is just a thing to protect within me. You know, I am the protector of my home. Somebody break in, we're fighting. You know? And I don't know. Somebody breaking in my house, I'm dropping them. I'm sorry. I just am. You don't care about my family? I don't really care about you a whole lot. We'll pray for you, though. We believe in healing. But if I shoot you or something, we're gonna try and take care of business first, and then we'll pray for your salvation while you're laying there. That's something, yeah, something. It's on like Donkey Kong, right? But you know what? I think that's a good thing within you. Your drive of, you know what? I'm gonna take care of business because I'm protecting my family, right? Anybody, right? Did you have that? And that's a good thing that God gives us. In life, we have other things that we should be driven to. And really, whatever your drive is, if your drive is to be a good dad, we're going to look at keys to help you be a good dad. If your drive is to be a good mom or to be a good student or to lose weight or to get your degree or to be a good grandparent or to love your great-grandchildren, or if your desire is to get out of debt, or if your drive is to do any of those other things, listen, whatever it is, these keys from the Word of God are applicable to your life today and for the next 3 weeks. So we're going to get into Philippians chapter 3. My goal, too, is that we wouldn't just be driven to do those things in life which are good, but my goal is that we would also be driven to Jesus. Amen? That I think these keys are relevant in other areas, but today let's not miss the fact that God has given us a mission to accomplish for Him. And I am driven, man. I have a drive to live for Jesus, and I hope that you would as well. That it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, we're driven for the Lord. It doesn't matter how bad the world gets, that just propels us to Jesus, right? Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you just want to scan, look at verse 5. Paul is here talking about his pedigree. He says, you know, when I was 8 years old, I was circumcised. That was important. If you're wondering why that's in there, that was important. That meant he was a real Hebrew. He was a real Jew. He said he was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. He was a Pharisee. He loved God so much that he persecuted the church. I'm just kind of surmising if you just glance at that. He basically gives his resume before Jesus. He's like, I was the man before Jesus. People looked at me and said, wow, you are the man. At this time, his name was actually Saul. And he says, you're the man, dude. You got it all together. You graduated from the good school. Your life is successful. Verse 7, we'll start reading right here. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. His whole resume, he says, I once thought they were valuable, but now I consider them what? Worthless. Because of what Christ has done. Your translation might say garbage. It might say dung. I think the King James says animal refuse. It's all junk, basically. Everything that I've done is all worthless compared to what Christ has done. Look at verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so what? That I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. How do we get right with God? How do we get right with Christ? We just read it. We're righteous through what? Faith. Through faith in Christ. Is it by how well we obey? No, we just read that, right? I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. So how do we get right with God? Through faith in Christ. If you're waiting to get right with God by being good, you're never going to be good because, newsflash, you're not good. Right? You ever feel bad and say, man, I'm a bad person? Truth is, yes, you're a bad person. Right? That's the truth. You're bad. You're horrible. You're wretched. Everybody feel good today? You are. That's why you feel bad, because you are bad. And guess what? I am too. That's why, glory to God, Jesus died for me. Right? That's why we worship and lift our hands before the Lord, because Jesus died for me. And I'm worthless. And God gave me new life. I shouldn't have peace. And He died so I can have peace. I should not be allowed to talk to God the Father in prayer, because even as Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and separated from God, I've committed the same kind of sins, if not more. I should not be allowed to stand in God's presence and talk to Him. But thank God that Jesus paid the price. The veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and I can stand in God's presence and talk to Him and cry out, Abba, Father. I love you. And he cries out to me and talks to me. Isn't that good news? That comes through what? Through faith in Christ. Isn't that good? Amen? So if you can't do things well, just own up to it. The Bible says you can't. Paul couldn't either. It's okay. Do you have faith in Jesus? And that's where we put our trust. Amen? We try to live for God. We will fail. We will falter. I need to lay it all before Him and worship and put my faith in Jesus. Because it's all about Him and it's not about me at all. Amen? Nobody left, huh? I told you you were wretched and evil and everybody stayed. That's good. It's true. That's why, verse 9, Paul says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Him depends on what? Faith. To that, Paul says this, and we're going to get right into our text in just a second. Paul says after this, thinking about Jesus, thinking about all that He's done, thinking about how his resume before Jesus is all junk, and how now Jesus has changed him and given him hope. Verse 10, he begins to, with all of his heart, say, I want to know Christ. Do you see that? I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. I want to know and experience that mighty power that raised Him from the dead. And he says, even to the point where if God calls me to, I'll suffer for Him. If God calls me to, I'll go through the hard time. If He calls me to, I'll go through the valley of the shadow of death and give up my life for Him. Because I know what? That I will experience the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I'll give up my life for Jesus because I know He's going to bring me back. Isn't that good? You see His passion? Do you see His heart? Do you see His drive? All right, verse 12, this is going to be the main thrust of our message today, where your blanks are going to come from. Verse 12 through 14, Paul moves on. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. Translation, Paul says, I don't have it all together. Anybody here, you have it all together? Anybody got the Christian thing down? Anybody? Anybody you feel like, oh, I don't have this thing down, right? Paul says, I don't have it together. I haven't reached perfection. I'm still working on this. God is still doing a process in me. I find that fascinating that he says that while he's completely filled with the Holy Spirit writing the Bible. Anybody? God anointed him, filled him with the Holy Spirit to write the Bible completely without error. And even in that process of being the author, for not the author, but the one God used to write the Word, he says, I still don't have it all together. I'm still messed up. Anybody? You just say, you know what? I still messed up a little bit. Anybody? Can I see your hands? If not, you're lying. So let's... All right, right? I'll put two hands up. We're still messed up a little bit. But here's what Paul does. But I, what? Press on. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Praise the Lord. We're going to take apart this passage today. He says, I press on. Do you see his passion? That's the definition of drive. I press, I press on. In a football analogy, can I get some water, Donna? Do you mind? Thank you. In a football analogy, if you watch football, anybody watch football? For the two of us, three of us will get this. Everybody else, you need to start, because seriously, if you don't watch the NFL, you know. All right, but you have the offensive line here, you have the defensive line. If you know anything about football, it says it's all won or lost in the trenches. It's the offensive line against the defensive line. And as soon as they say hike, they get up, thank you, Lou, and they start pushing on each other. And they start fighting. And they just keep pushing and pushing. Hike, they get up, boom, and they hit each other. And the defensive line tries to throw the offensive line. And the offensive guy tries to grab them without getting caught. And tries to push them over so the running back can run up the middle. But it's a fight, man. It's push against me. I push against you. And really, the strongest side wins. They're pushing. They're pressing on. They're getting through. Listen, sometimes in life, it's hard. Right? Life is hard. Sometimes we get beat up. Sometimes we sit back and the devil can beat us up, or maybe it's just the things of life. You know, lose a job, your kid's sick, somebody passes away. God forbid a spouse passes away. But you need to press on. You need to move forward. And the Lord will help you do that. But you need to push on. The worst thing, the saddest thing I've ever really seen as a pastor is those people who have met obstacles in life and they give up. And time goes by and they're just sitting there. And they've let the world pass them on. Anybody, you know somebody like this? That maybe years has gone by and the devil's just stealing time from them. They don't have any more fight within them. They don't think they have any more fight within them. I want to say this. You know what? We just need to press on. We need to press on. You have more fight within you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has come alive within you, right? When you ask Jesus to forgive you, the Holy Spirit comes within. And I spoke last week on the power that the Holy Spirit gives you as well, to give you more thrust to do His, to live a holy life, but also to do His work, to do His mission for the world. The Holy Spirit will give you passion and drive to move forward. You need to tap into that power, amen? You need to seek Him. Sometimes, I just want to tell guys, suck it up and move on. You need to stop sitting and whining and talking about what happened or what could have been. And I know it's sad and I know it hurts, but we need to move. We need to move. We can't sit back at this place and not accomplish anything in life. God left us here and gives us a drive. Don't sit back and be defeated. Don't let the enemy do that to you. You need to push on. You need to push on. And the Holy Spirit will give you that. So you'll have a fight within you and you'll push and say, you know what? I'm going to do this for the Lord. How many people that, God forbid, lose a child? And you might have, I've seen, you know, movies on TV and stuff where you see a family that has a few kids, they lost one. And the mom and dad grieve forever. And all their other kids just grow like weeds and they're hurt in the process. And the parent doesn't go to help the other kids, right? Like, you lost a child, horrendously sad. Thank God that we can be united with them in heaven, but it hurts like crazy here. I understand that. And you need to grieve. But there comes a point where if you're a dad, you need to be a dad again. Because you're still a dad. Am I right? Because what happens is you won't lose one child, you'll lose them all. and you need to press on. Is it hard? Yes. But guess what? The Holy Spirit will give you that. He will help you. If you're here today and you feel like you're at the end of your rope, I want to encourage you to seek God and ask Him to help you to press on. You know what? There's more fight in you than you think there is. The devil would want to sit on your shoulder and tell you you're at the end. There's nothing you can do. But there's more fight in you than you think. And He will give you power to live for Him. Jesus was in the garden. And remember Jesus' prayer? As He's in the garden, sweating drops of blood, getting ready to taste death, which is absurd for God to die. That thought is just ridiculous. To die as an innocent man for those people who were going to rip out his beard and spit in his face. Jesus was going to die for them. Anybody think that He had pressure? Right? Didn't Jesus have pressure? Did you know it was hard? It was so hard that as He knelt there, drops of blood came off of His face. He said this prayer, "Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, God, take this from me." We can read it as if it was a nice little prayer. "Lord, if there's any other way." Jesus is crying out to the Father. It wasn't this nice little prayer. It was a broken heart with Him beating and crying out, "God, if there's any other way, take this from me. Take it, Lord. If there's any other way to save mankind. If there's something I missed." And then He says this. You know it. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Amen? That's what He did for us. Jesus, at that, pressed on. He pressed on. And I'm grateful that He pressed on. And He punched the devil in the mouth and He kept moving forward. And He was victorious. I want you to know today that you can press on. You can press on. Is your pain real? Yes. But you can press on. You can press on. Do you need encouragement? Yes. God has given you the church to encourage you. God has given you the Holy Spirit to comfort you, fill you, give you power and encouragement. But you can press on. Amen? "I press on," He says. "To possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me." Great verse to memorize. Donna, do you remember that verse from Acquire the Fire? Every time I read that verse, I remember Ron Luce at the stadium at the youth convention saying, "I press on to achieve that for which Christ Jesus first took hold of me." Great verse to memorize. He moves on. "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but..." Here's your first key. "I focus." There's your first key. "I focus on one thing." Listen, we need to focus. As Jesus knelt in the garden, He focused on the plan of God and said, "This is what we need to redeem humanity. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And I guarantee when Jesus stood up, He was singular in focus. He knew what He was going to do. Listen, you need to get a focus. What is a focus? Look at this picture. This is kind of cool. It's the word, can anybody see the word in the middle? The word is focus. And you see all these other words around it? Can you read them? Not too much, right? Here's what focusing does. If you focus on something, how your human eye works is the thing that you focus on, well, it becomes sharp. It becomes in focus, if you will. That's what we call it. And if you notice, if you're looking at me right now, the things in your peripheral vision, like the windows, and as I'm looking at the back door, I see people, but they're all fuzzy. You know? And the back door is sharp. And I could see that. I could focus on that. Everything else is a little bit fuzzy. Now, if I look at Ivan, I can see Ivan. Ivan's in perfect focus. He's sharp. Everything else is really fuzzy. Right? That's how cameras work. You got to make sure you're focused on the right thing. Right? It's the same way with this picture. If you focus on like the word focus, everything else just becomes blurry. In our society, we don't focus on anything. Right? We have short attention spans. When we were kids, Bugs Bunny, anybody watch Bugs Bunny? I think those episodes were like 7 minutes long. And that was it. We got 7 minutes, then we need a commercial. Because we can't do any more than seven, right? You just can't. We were programmed, you know, you got 15 minutes before a commercial at least. And you got 20 minutes of commercials. You know? You watch a 10-minute Three Stooges episode, it takes you 45 minutes. Not me, I got TiVo. I fast-forwarded them things. I don't buy nothing. Not getting me. I love TiVo. Anybody else got TiVo? DVR? Yeah? Good stuff. I don't watch commercials. But listen, we need to focus. We need to pay attention. Okay? What do we need to focus on? Well, let's look at this first of all. On whatever your goal is. Let's go to the other goals. Somebody throw one out. Because if I pick one, somebody's going to say I'm talking about them. Weight loss. Okay. If your goal is weight loss, and you got, the first step is to get in focus what your goal is. My goal is to lose weight, right? And you got to get that image in your mind. You can't be all this other. No, this is it. Man, I'm ready to go, right? Anybody else? What could be another goal? Anybody? Financial security, good. And you get a picture of what, you got to get a picture of what you're talking about, right? Maybe with weight loss, I've heard of, I haven't done this personally, but I've heard of women hanging up bikinis so they could say, this will be what I want to fit into. I've never done that. I've never hung up a bikini and said, this is what I want to fit into. But some women may have done that. I don't know, right? Don't even tell me if you have. I don't want to know. Perhaps with financial stability, perhaps you, if you're on the computer, maybe you'd make a budget and you could print out a budget that you would like to meet. Or maybe you would just get a copy of your credit card and you would take that $10,000 balance, cross it out, and handwrite zero and hang it on a wall and say, Jesus, I want that. And then it's good to remind yourself of that, right? So what happens when you're at home and you want a cheesecake? You should put your bikini on the refrigerator, so you got to move it out of the way to get your cheesecake. Am I right? You might want to buy several bikinis and put them on each cabinet door in your house. One for the freezer, right? With financial stuff, you might want to put something in your wallet by your credit card. So when you're in the store and you think, oh, I need this Blu-ray, because my DVD player isn't that sharp, so I want this awesome, you know, or whatever it is you want to get, and you'll pull out your card and maybe you'll stumble across something to remind you, no, my goal is financial responsibility, right? Or security. What a great idea. I do that. I have stuff, I don't know if I have anything right now, but I do that. Personally, I had to make room recently. I don't know if I have something. Do I? No. But I used to have a card. I have it at home, I guess. I had it in for the longest time, or the first card you see when I opened up my wallet, besides the moths coming out, was a card that talked about tithing and giving to the Lord. And it said that I am a steward of God's money, and all my money is God's. So when I go to get a Blu-ray player, which I don't own, but if I were, I would say, Jesus, is it okay if I use your money for a Blu-ray player? You know what? The answer might not be no, it might be yes, but we need to stop and think this through, right? Whatever your goal is, you need to get it in focus. I'm not advocating bikinis, that just happened. Sorry. But that's what some women do. Guys, don't hang the Speedo up. Don't do that. We don't do that here. No. No. But put reminders, maybe memory verses in your wallet, right? About stewardship, something like that. Because as you go through the day, you're going to be tempted to not meet your goal. See, that's how it works. The devil wants to destroy you. God plants a goal within your heart, which could be health, being a good parent, all those things, right? Losing weight, financial stability, security, all those things God gives you. Restoring a relationship with like a brother, say, who you haven't talked to in years and you want to bridge this gap and you want to pray for him. He wants to take us off of those goals on just like watching every episode of Lost only to see the season finale and you're still lost, right? Whatever that stuff is to keep us busy, we need to focus on what God has birthed within us. And we need to remind ourselves. If it's smoking, we need to do something to remind ourselves. Maybe if you can't stop entirely, put a sticker with verses on your pack. And every time you go to it, say, Jesus, help me. You know what I mean? Something. I don't know what to do for you, but something that works to remind you, right, of what your goal is. Okay? If you're not close to your wife and you have problems, maybe at work, put something on your desk or something in your truck to remind you of your wife while you're at work. To pray for her. Write a picture, something. Just in the middle of your day, say, Jesus, help me to be a better husband, right? Or a better wife, whatever. We need to focus. And when we focus, everything else becomes blurry. Isn't that good? Everything else becomes blurry. Let's bring it back to Jesus. If we focus on knowing Jesus and living for Jesus, all the things of the world, the song says, grow strangely dim. Right? Do you know that song? We need to focus. Paul says, I focus on one thing. Let's move on to the second item here. That is forget. Forget. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Let's pause right there. Forgetting the past. Thomas Edison, pretty successful guy, right? Can anybody tell me what Thomas Edison did? Did he do anything that was any good? Some inventions? He did. And now I'm sweating under a dozen light bulbs thanks to Thomas Edison, right? But you're right, he failed like 14,000 times. The quote is something like, about failing, and he's, were you frustrated in failing? And he says, no, I just learned 14,000 ways to not make a light bulb. And then I got it right. But he invented the phonograph too, I believe. Record player, I mean, he made all kinds of, just, that's absurd. Think about it, 100 years ago, give or take, that you would be able to record sound on a disc. And then play it back, right? We take that for granted. Huge jump in technology. Thomas Edison, we owe a lot to him in this day and age. Here's a quote that he said. Many of life's failures are people who had not realized how close they were to success when they gave up. So many of life's failures are people who didn't realize how close they were to success before they gave up. Because they're thinking, in the past, I failed in the past. At some point, it becomes, instead of I failed, it becomes I am a failure. Isn't that shift dangerous? Instead of I failed, which it's fine to fail, we all fail. But all of a sudden, you get the tag of I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I can't do it. And Thomas Edison's quote says, as we move forward, we could even be close to getting it right, but in our heart we hear, I'm a failure, and we have this past haunting us. And you give up right before you have success. We need to forget the past. You know this verse from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Right? Did you hear that? Anyone who is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone in Christ is a new person, a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. When God forgives you, He washes away your sin, right? And it's gone. Paul says, I forget the past. Why? Because if you have an anchor behind you dragging you, you cannot move forward. Anybody ever was in a boat and you forgot to pull anchor before you started moving? Anybody? I have, out in the bay. Used to go fishing with my dad all the time. You forget the anchor and you start driving, something's wrong. Something's wrong. In our lives, too many times, we have the anchor in the past. And we're trying to move forward, and it's harder than it should. And we want to give up. My question is, are you dragging your past with you? Are you dragging your past with you? Or are you ready to let go and move forward for Jesus? Let's use the weight loss thing. Well, I haven't lost weight. It's been so long to lose weight, you might say. And the devil wants to tell you, you're a failure. You can't do that. You're miserable. You can't do anything. You can't lose weight. You're fat and ugly. Not you. The devil would say that to you. Sorry, Lou. Just happens. But listen, you have that baggage in your past and maybe you failed. But you need to say, you know what? I'm a new creation. The old, thank you, Jesus, is gone. Say, Jesus, cut the weight of my past, pull it off me, and I can move forward with the Lord, right? Don't let your past drag you down. For some, the goal might be getting your GED because you never finished school. And you can think, oh, it's been so hard. You know, it's so difficult. Everything happens. And then I try to and I fail. I give up. I don't apply myself. I'll never do it. That's baloney. You can do it. If God has birthed that within you to do that, you need to move forward. You need to say, I'm a new creation. I'm not bound by my past because God is Lord over what? The past, the present, and the future. God's the boss of everything. Right? He's more powerful than your past. You need to let it go. You need to forget it and move on. A couple biblical stories. Remember Lot? Remember Lot, Genesis 19? He was living in this little terrible place, Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Sin everywhere. God goes to blow it up. He's just going to wipe them all out. Abraham says, no, God, please go and spare the city. If there's only a few people there, go. So God sent angels to walk through, and they got Lot and his wife and his daughters, two daughters, I think, and brought them out of the city. And the angel told them, don't look back. Do you remember that? Don't look back. Interesting thing, the angel told Lot where to go. Run to this village. And Lot says, I want to go to the mountains instead. If you know the rest of the story, bad decision. Lot should have shut up and listened to God. It's a whole other message. Don't argue with God. God knows. But the angel told Lot's wife, don't look back. And she looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. God turned her into a pillar of salt. Or actually, probably more accurate to say she turned herself. She refused to listen to God. God was destroying her past. And she didn't trust God enough to just look towards the future. And she had to take that look. And in doing so, she looked back. Turned to salt and missed God's blessing for the future. Jesus said something like this, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't worthy of the kingdom of God. Be careful when you're looking back, right, at your past, right? Be careful. Sometimes we look back and we say, the past was really good. You know what? We always look at our past, a lot of times, with rose-colored glasses, don't we? We do. How many, unfortunately, how many Christians get older and all they talk about is the glory past of church 50 years ago? And church was so good. And church was so awesome. Maybe it was. Probably not as awesome as you remember. Maybe. Maybe it was good, but we forget Sister So-and-so used to get on her nerves, right? And we forget all these. Am I right? You only think of, oh, God, and God, I hope God fell. But here's the deal. The devil doesn't care if you sit and gloat in the past. In fact, he might even sit on your shoulder and say, man, church used to be good, huh? To have you complain about church today and not want to come back, right? And get bitter. And you're always looking in the past instead of saying, God, the things that you did in the past, looking in the past does have value, but be careful. God tells the Israelites to look in their past from time to time. Remember, cross the Red Sea, get the 12 big rocks, stack them up. So when your children say, what's this pile of rocks? You can say, this is where the Lord your God brought us forth from Egypt. There's a time to look at the past, but there's a place where it gets dangerous. Because what that whole thing was, look at your past, but remember who God is, and take that and move towards the future. When the result is look at your past and stay in your past, the devil's fine with that. When we only talk about who God used to save, guess what? Nobody's getting saved. Right? If we only talk about how many people God used to fill with the Holy Spirit, the devil don't care. Because nobody's getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, you should say, people used to. And that should propel us, God, do it again, right? Am I right? Be careful with your past. Don't be anchored to your past. Your past should propel you and even add to your drive towards Jesus. But be careful, because your past could stop you dead in your tracks. So much that there's people in the Bible who God changed their name. Okay? Abram. Remember Abram? His name meant High Father, Exalted Father. Remember Abram from the Bible? What was the problem? He didn't have any kids. So he'd go to town, hey Abram, which is like, hey Exalted Father. Isn't that funny? The father that can't have kids, he was the joke. God promised him he would become the father of many and changed his name to Father of Many, which meant Abraham. Imagine wearing that sign going into town. You change your name to Father of Many, you still don't have any kids. And guess what? He trusted God and God blessed him. And he fathered the Israelites of the world today. All Jews stem from Abraham. Isn't that awesome? But God changed his name because his past had to stay in the past, and God gave him a new identity. His wife's name was Sarai, which many think means contentious in Hebrew. It's like the one who kind of gets on your nerves. She wants to fight all the time. Remember, the angel said, you're going to have kids? She's like, yeah, I'm going to have kids. Why'd your wife laugh? I didn't laugh! We just heard you laugh. What do you mean you didn't laugh, right? This argumentative, God changed her name to princess. Sarah means princess. God changed her name. Remember Saul? Saul? Remember Saul who wrote this? He had his name changed, didn't he? To what? Paul. Because he was Saul, the one who killed Christians. Jesus gave him a new identity. So maybe when he was writing that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ we are all new. The old is gone. I wonder if he was penning that, the old is gone. And he would just sit as the Holy Spirit gave him that, and maybe he had chills. And he thought about his old life. He killed Christians, right? He was a terrible person, and God even changed his name and named him Paul. The new has begun. The old is gone. The new has begun. Do not let your past keep you from accomplishing your goals in life. As a Christian, your past, the devil wants to keep you from accomplishing your goals for Jesus. You'll never be able to pray. You'll never understand the Bible. You're not smart enough to understand the Bible. You'll never be able to be faithful. Focus on the Lord. Cut ties with your past. Amen? Last one we're going to look at. We're almost done. Forgetting the past, I look what? Forward to what lies ahead. I look forward to what lies ahead. Hallelujah. Whatever your goal is, God has plans for your life. Paul says in this passage, for him, looking forward was Christ. Look at this picture. He's walking towards the cross and he's leaving the world behind. I look forward, what? I look forward to heaven, right? I look forward to what lies ahead. If your goal is Jesus and it should be Jesus, man, you need to focus on Him and you need to look forward to the things God has for you. You focus on, if your goal is to be a better student of the Word and to know your Bible better, and your focus is, the first one, your focus is God, this is what I want to do, this is my goal, right? Forgetting the past, you say, God, you know what? All the times in the past that I wasn't able to do it, I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Every time that I promised I would read every day and I failed, I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to cut ties with that. And what? I look forward to the future and I envision myself as the man that God wants me to be. And we say, God, dream over me a big dream. Dream over me a big dream. And that's what I want to be. We look forward to the future. Amen. See, the devil doesn't want you to hear this today. Because he wants you to sit back and to be futile in every plan God has for you, everything that God has. Doesn't God say, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord? Plans to what? Prosper you, not to harm you, to give you what? Hope and a future. Jeremiah 29, right? Amen? We need to look forward. We need to focus on Him. We need to forget the past. We need to look forward to the future. What if your goal is to, let's go back to lose weight. That's a good goal. That's a godly goal. You know, you can argue whether or not your bikinis are godly. Don't, you know, whatever. We're not preaching bikinis are good. We're preaching getting healthy is good. If that's your goal, you need to look forward to a great life. You need to look forward to being able to run outside if you have kids, running outside with your kids and not getting out of breath. Or if you have grandkids, or you don't yet, or you will, I want to live a long time. My goal is to be healthy so I'll see them graduate, so I can play with my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren, right? Right? My goal is to do all I can do. What else? Losing weight will help your energy for serving Jesus, right? I want to move forward. If it's financial stability, I look forward to the day when maybe you could give more to missions. See, God wants you to have money. God wants you to have money. He wants you to pay off debt and have money so you can give to missions. Maybe your heart is to go on a missions trip. Look forward to the future and say, Jesus, if this is your will, I want to go to India on a short-term missions trip to help plant a church. Or I want to go to Mexico and help children that don't have any running water. Or whatever that is. Or I just want to work at the church and serve you and cut the grass. I don't want to have to work 7 days a week. I want to be financially secure so I can do the things God wants me to do. There's nothing wrong with that. The devil wants you to say, you can't do it. The devil wants to distract you. And he wants to keep your eyes off the future. He wants to say, you failed. Your future's not good. And look at this thing over here. I'm focused on this. Yeah, but look at this. Look at this. Look at that. How many parents know more about television shows? They know more about the likes and dislikes of television characters that aren't even real, and they don't even know their own kids. They don't even know their kids' favorite color. I hate that. Anybody? Right? If that's you, let's stop that stuff and focus on what God wants us to be. And when we do that, He will change our lives. Paul says, verse 14, I press on. Can we read this together? Listen, can we read this last verse together with drive? Can we do that with passion, with exuberance? Anybody? Anybody got any passion today? Yeah, I got passion. Anybody got passion today? All right. Listen, listen, you got to get in the zone, man. Right? I'm not the best athlete in the world, and I never played sports in school because I was dumb. I wish I did. But I know you got to get in the zone. When I'd play my wife in basketball, she's good, by the way. It's been a couple years, but my wife is good. I'd have to get in the zone, man. Whew. You got to be ready. Anybody ever lift weights? You used to lift weights, Olga? No, anybody? I'm kidding. Right? You know if you're going to bench press, you put all the weight that you can lift up and even more on the, and you lay down on your back, before you grab that bar, what do you have to do? You got to get in the zone, right? You got to, even before you sit down, you're like, you had hard rock music on? Yeah, all right. I'm there, used to lift weights with my dad all the time. You can't tell, right? You get in the zone. You ready? You sit down. Big breath. Anybody? Is it just me? You grab that bar. Boom! You got it. You got it. Because if you're sitting down and you're like, you're dying. You just are. You got to get in the zone. We need to be people of passion. We need to be people of passion. God has given you a dream. There's nothing wrong with you getting passionate about the dream. If your dream is lose weight, you got to find some passion about losing weight, getting out of debt, being a good dad, a good spouse. You got to get passionate about those things. Paul was just talking about his passion for Jesus. To be honest with you, as a pastor of this church, the one thing that I think will kill this church is passionless Christians. Christians with no passion. That's my fear here. Be very honest and transparent with you. I sit back and pray, God, give us a passion for you. Right? God, give us a desire for the things of you. Let's read this verse, and we're going to sing one more song as our worship to Him. If you're looking at the clock, I still got 7 minutes. I'm doing the best I've ever done in a long time. All right? So let's go ahead. Let's read this verse. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song. And I want to encourage you to get passion full, if that's a word. Get full of passion here today for the Lord. Verse 14. Let's read this together. Let's stand as well. Let's read. Let's start at 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, God.
Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord.
If you're here today, and when I'm preaching about goals and things, listen, there's something burning on your heart that you know God has wanted you to do. And you're listening and you're like, that's me. God wants me to do this thing. And if you need, and if that's you today, I want you to come forward. Before we go, I want to anoint you with oil. It's just oil, but it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to anoint you and just pray God to help you. If you're here today and you say, you know what? Today I'm pressing on. That this message was for me. God has a future for me. I'm pressing on. If that's you, come up right now and line up. And I want to anoint you with oil. Pray. Then we're going to receive our offering. Okay? Next group is coming in. So come on up. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Just come up, line up. We're going to pray, anoint with oil. Ask God to bless you. Is your way of saying, God, I commit to that again today. If anybody else, come forward. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, we pray right now, Lord, that we would commit our lives to you, O God. Lord, you are the Lord of our lives, our past, our present, and our future. I pray, God, for this group that is coming up, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would help them, Lord, that they would forget the past, they would focus on you and look forward to the future, Lord. God, right now we pray against the devil, Lord. We pray against the demonic activity that would want to take the focus from our church. God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would give us focus that cannot be broken. We pray, Lord, against the enemy and his works in regards to our past, God. We pray, Lord, that the devil and the demons of hell would not be able to remind us of the past and take us down. But Lord, we would see what you've done and we'd move forward. We're not bound by our past. You're the Lord of our past. And I pray that you would help us to look towards your future. Lord, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for all that you've done. Hallelujah. It's all about you. It's not about us. And we look forward to you. And we look forward to heaven. And we look forward to changed lives and becoming what Jesus has for us. We pray in the name of our mighty King. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us victory. So why don't we thank Him for that? Why don't we say thank you for the victory? Thank you for the victory. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is good, right? Amen.